Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker radio show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the
I'm so excited.
Miss Honor Bike.
I'm back.
You're back. I missed you.
Did you, though?
I missed you. Yeah.
Did you really?
I really did miss you. I did see some of your antics, mind.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I know. Broken rib. Shoulder injury now. Bruises all down me. Black. I was black. I know.
You've been having fun then?
I said to Stephen this morning, I said, love, why do I do it? Yeah. Why can't I just be elegant and beautiful and graceful and just enjoy instead of going,
waft.
Let's go. Why can't I do that?
I've told you this a million times.
I am not an overachiever.
Yeah,
I'm not having
you,
it.
I told you this.
We heard that on a film the other day. I was like, oh my God, it's like Paul Andrews is haunting me.
Exactly.
Who made up that phrase, an overachiever? It doesn't exist.
Yeah, it does.
How can you overachieve?
Well,
tell me. Yeah, you know, get bruises, you break your ribs. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. That's exactly it, bud.
Is it that I don't have the skills to do what I think I can do?
Listen. Listen. We're on air. What can I tell you?
Please tweet us. What is an overachiever? And is it that your skills don't match your...
I tell you where I first... It wasn't quite that context, but I had a... When I worked at Citibank, I had a boss that I didn't get on with, and we did my appraisal.
Did you ever get on with the boss?
Oh, yeah.
Funnily enough,
one of my favourite bosses, John Fazakerly. All right, JF, how you doing, mate? Haven't seen you for ages. John... One of my favourite bosses, everybody else hated him and they just couldn't get on with him. But I've just thought he was brilliant and we really gelled. But Alan, God rest his soul, me and him just didn't get on. And I had an appraisal and he went, the trouble with you is, Paul, you're an underachiever. And I went, no, the trouble with you is, Alan, you're an overexpector. And he went, what does that mean? And I went, well, what does underachiever mean? Yeah, you know, anyway, so we had an argument about that and about all of my failings. Which were manifold.
Here they come. Yeah. I knew it. I knew it. That the Miss Flanders would be bang
on
it.
She's straight in there with a gif, is she?
She is. She is.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, but, I mean, what can I say, Bird? I don't want to upset you.
Since when has that ever been something? You've never not worried about that.
Well, no. It's just when we do sporty type things.
Who's we? The royal we?
Well, no, anyone. I mean, I used to do sporty type things as well.
Yeah.
But I stopped at a reasonable time.
Oh.
Is all I'm saying. All I'm saying. Yeah.
It is my 50th next month.
I didn't want to mention that. I didn't want to.
I don't care.
I didn't want to mention. And there's nothing wrong with a bit of vet sport.
Oh. Oh, God, you have missed me, haven't you?
Yeah, no, but.
You can't do this with Jules. She won't accept it.
No, well, she's 60, so, I mean, she's well past it, yeah.
But she's never been an athlete anyway.
Oh, well, that's what... She won't... She dispute that. She was a yoga queen when she was earlier. And do you know what? Just funnily enough, while I was saying that, I don't know why, but the other night I was looking at something on social media and a thing came up and it just said, on a poll, what do you think? What sport or pastime causes more injuries than any other sport?
Yoga.
It's yoga.
Is yoga a sport, though? I would start to question it.
No, it's a pastime.
It's a practice.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a pastime.
Uh-oh. Is it not?
No.
It's not a hobby, then.
No. Sorry to the yoga community yogics that are out there. Yeah. Mr. Andrews has just absolutely put his teeth into that there.
Yeah, yeah.
That is so funny.
So, yoga. I can't believe it. I suppose it's people trying to bend themselves into impossible positions at the wrong age.
No, yoga is a pathway to enlightenment. The practice of yoga.
What you mean when you're laying in your hospital bed going, ow, yeah.
Oi, okay. Go back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You know, they're taking you to self-actualization.
Right, yeah, but
through the pathway of movement.
I don't have any problem with you getting your chakras in a line or whatever,
I'm so sorry, people.
What I'm saying, though, is is that how can it cause more injuries than any other sport or pastime? What is it? It's obviously people are trying to get into positions that their body won't allow them to get into in order to hurt themselves.
It takes me back to my original thing. Why have I got injuries? Is it because my will goes above my skill level?
It's cost you 50. Right, anyway.
Not yet.
I want to...
Yeah, you keep over there.
I want to move on.
With your glasses on your head and your teeth coming out.
Yeah, yeah, I haven't got many teeth left. But what I've got are mine. I want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsors, who are the lovely folks at Cyberfort Group, who are the cybersecurity specialists. They advise, detect and defend you from cyber attack. And not just technology, they look after your data, whether it's physical data, you know, in terms of written data and filed data, as well as electronic data. So massive thank you to cyberfort.com. Cool. We'd love to hear from you, all the businesses out there in the southeast.
They've already started. Love it.
I've just messed up my Twitter feed. We have got we have the lovely Anita in the studio with us, and we're going to be talking to Anita in the not-too-distant future. We have two other guests joining us, but right now, currently, they are in a car on the M20.
I love that.
Yeah, so so they will be joining us shortly. We also have the lovely folks from Vodafone up on our roof at the moment installing a 5G mast. And
anything could happen.
Anything could happen. They've already managed to knock the broadband off once today, so... hopefully they don't do it again. But anyway, they're up doing 5G right at the moment. So we'd love to hear from you, all the businesses out there. You can get in touch with us in all the usual ways. You can call me on 01233 220035. That's Ashford, 01233 220035. You can email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to... Has somebody tweeted you again?
Out there today, yeah, it's like they've really missed it, and they're all just going mad on their gifts, honestly.
Well, apparently you don't need to be told that you could tweet me at VanillaWeb with the hashtag BBunker, because everyone's already doing
it. I'm telling you, we've had eight tweets already, and there's six gifts, and there's one with Ethelbray. I've got the funniest one where they've blown their teeth out. It's brilliant. Ethelbray, we love you.
I've had a tweet. I'll start by reading the tweet. I've had a tweet from Michael Park Surveyors, and they say, hello, it's great. It's a great day for Business Bunker Show, and a shout out. Thank you so much for serving the community with your generosity on us. Okay. Have a super Tuesday. Oh, let's see what they've done there. Tuesday with a CH. Tuesday, you get it? Tuesday. Oh, so I like it. Oh, well done. So that's Michael Park Surveyors. They're lovely folks, chartered surveyors. Based in Medway, that cover the southeast of England. And you can follow them on the Twitter at MPSL.
Michael Parks, could you send us some photos? Because we like it when they send some photos. Have they sent one through?
Yeah, there was one. There was one of a warehouse that they're shifting at the moment.
Nice. An industrial unit.
Yeah.
Nice.
Do you want to read one?
Yeah, well, we've got loads of gifts coming in, so let's just go from the top down. So we've got Ethelbray, they're loving it at the minute, so they've sent one with the teeth coming out. Diamond Circle Weddings, welcome back, riding a bike. Thank you so much. And they've put me as a bear riding a bike, which is very funny because I always like to poke the bear with people. You've got Chris Hyde, who said, let's go from this first one, because he sent us one through saying, classic appraisal quote, sets himself low standards that constantly fails to achieve.
I like it. Thank you, Chris.
And that was with Bart Simpson as well. And then they've come up with a second one, which was Vanilla Web and Bird and a Bike, or... What one of my officers said to me, there are two definitions of career. One is going downhill rapidly, and that, son, is you. So I love it. So keep on coming, because I just love. And Amanda, thank you so much, darling. Thank you. Welcome back, and you missed us. Thank you very much.
Cool. I've had a tweet from Tabba Official, which is the lovely Tracy Ann Barker. And they say, Business Bank of Vanilla Web... Bird on a Bike. Looking forward to this week's show. We'll catch up on the podcast later. Please can we have a shout out for our event, CSR 2025, at the FOWH. I'll have to work that out. On the 20th of February. Businesses will find out tips and ideas to help implement practical corporate social responsibility. She has provided a link, but Twitter have gratefully shortened it. Let's see if I can find it. It's an Eventbrite link. It's eventbrite.co.uk. CSR 2025. Easiest thing is to follow Tracy Ann on the Twitter. TABA underscore official is her Twitter handle.
Nice.
I haven't worked out what FOWH is.
Let us know, Tracy Ann. What's FOWH?
It's obviously a place, FOWH. Okay.
Let us know.
We'll get there. And we've got a new Twitter user and a new follower and a new business. It's a chap called Andrew Harkin, and his Twitter handle is Copy and Consult. Copy and Consult, all one word. And he says, I help business owners generate a constant flow of qualified leads for their ideal clients. And he says he'd appreciate a Business Bunker shout out. So consider yourself shouted out.
Welcome to the family.
And it's a brand new business that he started.
Love it.
Yeah.
Let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
Ethel Bray have been on. Have a great show. Bird and the Bike and Vanilla Web. Hope the legs are out. You can imagine what the gif is. It is obviously Bert and Ernie.
It isn't.
It's not Bert and Ernie. It's Eric and Ernie. I always say Bert and Ernie.
I don't know. It's short and fat and hairy legs.
Yep.
And me.
Looking forward to seeing you next week. Are they in with us next week?
Cool.
Are they in with us next week?
Who?
Ethel Bray,
are you?
How exciting.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring them. We should get them something because they gave us some beautiful Christmas stuff.
They certainly did. Yeah, yeah. We will have a gift lined up of some kind.
Well, they've asked me.
Or a treat.
Exactly. Yeah. They've said, can you let everyone know our Getting to Grips with Management programme starts on the 10th of June? 10th of June? My goodness, we're in the depths of winter at the minute. At Demelza's Hospice for inexperienced and aspiring managers. I love those two words put together, an inexperienced and aspiring manager. I think that is so needed. So they said thanks. You are welcome, Ethel Bray.
Fantastic. I want to tell you about this, an interesting...
I want to tell you a story.
Yeah, I do. It is a bit of a story, actually. It's a little bit long, but that's cool. It's from a chap called Toby Trice. He said, hi, Paul, I got started in motorsport during 2019, competing in the Ginetta Racing Drivers Club. How I fell into motorsport was because I was using karting at Butmore Park to escape from dealing with some family issues. And the issues he had were to do with male fertility. Okay. Motorsport became my escape and I quickly got on the pace and was spotted by my 2019 sponsor, Vincent Caldicott, at Premier Contract Supplies. So I decided to combine the two together and use motorsport as a way to raise awareness about fertility issues, allowing me to use motorsport as an icebreaker for guys dealing with this awful problem. Most men do not speak about how they are feeling, which causes all kinds of mental health issues. To cut a long story short, the BBC picked up on my story and are now following it. This year, Inside Out, and potentially this morning, could be featuring my story. But none of this can happen unless I'm actually on the grid. We're aiming to compete in the British GT Support Series, known as the Ginetta G40 Cup, hoping to take the title and compete right at the sharp end. As you're aware, there are a whole host of activities around motorsport that can benefit companies to attract customers and reward staff and existing clients through hospitality, track day experiences, and having a brand ambassador, that would be Toby, to work with or on their goals. But the part that separates me from most racing drivers is I have this compelling story around fertility. This brings lots of positive press that backlinks to the companies that sponsor me, which adds value. I'm searching for companies I can work with who are interested in my story. It could be managing directors or people who have been directly affected by fertility problems or know someone who has and wishes to help make a difference. This problem affects 1 in 6 couples in the UK. If you'd like to find out more or to get in touch with Toby, there are two ways of doing that. His website is www.tobytriceracing.com or you can email him at info@tobytriceracing.com. That's Toby, TobyTrice, Toby Trice, TobyTriceRacing.com. Do check it out. And good luck, Toby, with the Ginetta Racing Series this year.
Yeah, cool. Mm. Well, I've just had something come through on my LinkedIn, and it's really, I love this, and it's from Tara Hamilton Howard. And this is about the Venus 2020 categories, and these are the awards that are being held in Canterbury. So it says, hi, Sarah Ann, Thought you might like, it's so unusual for people to say my name, it's usually Hybrid. Thought you might like to know, nominations from Canterbury, United Kingdom, for Venus 2020 have been extended. Know a woman who deserves some recognition, nominate her now for Working Woman's Oscars and check out the categories. So you need to go on to www.wibblywobblywaynusmovement.com/award categories. Go on to that, we'll put the link up there and then you can go and get an award. I love it. So I just said, look, we'll give you a shout out on BB, which it is.
Fantastic.
Cool.
I've had a tweet from The Heating Hub and they say, hello, Vanilla Web, we'd love a shout out here on The Heating Hub. Have a great show. The Heating Hub is a newly launched business that's a comparative website for gas boilers. But it's much more than that. It's got so much information on heating your home and how to acquire the best boiler. And I'm not an expert on this at all, but I was reading some of the stuff on there. And it's really interesting how so many of us are sold boilers that are far too big for our house and far too expensive and are not required. You can get away with a much smaller boiler if you do it properly.
Yeah.
So give The Heating Hub a follow. The Heating Hub.
I want to know how they make their pitch. Absolutely amazing.
Who? The Heating Hub?
Yeah.
How make their pitch to whom?
To anybody.
Right, okay.
Because when you talk about boilers, yeah. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
That's not going to move you, is it? So can you imagine their pitch that they're going to construct that they go, oh my God, the heating hub, blah, blah, blah. I love it.
It's actually quite odd that you say that because they actually get inundated with traffic to the website, people through natural search.
It's a big problem.
It's a big issue, and people are very aware of the fact that on the one hand, the government is saying that by 2035 we're going to fade away from gas boilers. What they actually mean is they're not going to install new ones, and you're never going to fade away because that would cost trillions. So lots of people are trying to look for more efficient gas boilers. They're trying to look for boilers that will last a long time because they're not going to get a new one. They're also trying to understand what's what, and especially at a time like this when it's blooming cold out.
And they always go wrong this time of year.
And they always go. Mine breaks down on Christmas Eve every year and fixes itself on the 1st of July every year because that's how they work. There's loads of information on the website, though. That's the thing. So you can come at it from lots of different angles. There's, you know, how much heating you need in a home, there's whether a gas boiler's right for you, what type of house you've got, what kind of things you need to do to insulate your house to make it more efficient and that
kind
of stuff.
Well, usually they're hereditary, aren't they? They come with the house, so buy the house and the boiler comes until you need to replace it.
Yeah, exactly.
So why would you even question the boiler you have is the right boiler for you in the house?
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, I mean, you need your boiler servicing every year and as you say, quite often in the winter they break down.
But who does that?
Who
honestly services their boiler yearly?
Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people have contracts, to be fair.
Well, that's different.
Yeah, yeah.
But I only used to do it when I rent my house.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I get my boiler serviced.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
But that's it, isn't
it? Normal people don't
But that's
service.
That's exactly what happens, though. And
yeah.
That's where all the traffic comes from, is that people don't have their boiler serviced, and therefore when it comes to the winter and it starts working hard, it breaks down or just stops working with a silly problem, nothing major, but because you haven't had it serviced regularly, it's bunged up or whatever, I don't know what they do, and therefore you have to start searching around to find someone that can help you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good stuff. What you got?
I've heard from Fruit Bowl Media. They've said, hello, Vanilla Web and Bird and a Bike. Please give a shout out. We are proud sponsors of the Networkers event. It's back. Thank goodness. I love it. At Eastwell Manor on the 18th of March. Here are the details. You need to go to avexio.co.uk/thenetworkersnetworking.
Hey, look who's in the picture of that as well.
I know.
Yeah, who is that?
It's me.
It's Bird. It's Birdie giving a talk at Eastwell Manor.
That was the first one. And Amanda, bless her, she went, I've just had a speaker pull out. You're on.
You're in.
Yeah. It wasn't even a, Bird, would you mind? It was you're in.
You're doing it.
And this is what you're speaking about. Okay. And we've said that a million times, haven't we?
Yep.
Is that when you're a speaker or you say that you're a speaker, you should be able to get up on that stage without a script and know, boom, you're in.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. It's that time.
What is it?
Cheeky Tunage.
What is it, though?
Well, what do you think?
Well, I don't know who our guests are, really.
Well, and we've only got one at the moment.
I would say we are family.
Yes.
No, it's not.
You've nailed
That's
it in one.
That's the first time in
You've
4 years.
You've nailed it in one. Yeah. Yeah. Sister Sledge.
Who knew?
Who knew? How cheesy is that?
just like birds of a feather. I won't tell no lie. All of the people around us, they say, can they be that close? Just let me state for the record, we're giving love in a family dose.
We are family.
Hey,
I got all my sisters.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50 plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
My Careers Options gives real career choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple, fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My Careers Options unique careers report also supports the school to help your child make informed decisions about their future education and careers choices. 50% off today with code BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk. That's BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2. In association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 11th of February. Sister Slayer J, how cheesy was that? How cheesy was that, eh?
Well, I was just more... I've never guessed a tune in my life.
And you've got it now. You've broken
who knew?
You've broken your duck.
Oh. What's that?
What do you mean, what's that?
What's that?
What's what?
What's... Oh, Chris Hyde has his boiler serviced yearly.
Does he?
Yep.
Well, he's a bit like that, isn't he? He's officious. He's ex-Air Force. He's regimented, isn't he? Or something. Chris.
So they say.
Yeah. There you go. I want to tell you about this. It's the Rock Fit Music Fitness event, yeah, with Sarah. It's Rock Fit with Sarah, and it takes place on Wednesdays, 6:30 p.m. At the Dame Janet Primary Academy. That's in Lower Road, Newington in Ramsgate. If you want to find out about it, go to bookwhen.com/Rock Fit with Sarah.
That's not me.
No, it's not you. It's Sarah Smith.
Yeah.
And it's Rock Fit. And it's to rock and heavy metal. I'm going to go and swoop my hair around.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Bit of quo. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. I was talking to Sarah about this, and I had an idea of putting together a little directory of different fitness and dance classes. And I've been promoting it on Twitter for about 2 weeks, and I've only had one. It's free. And I just said, if you run a fitness class or a well-being class or a mindfulness class or anything, let us know the details, and we'll put it on the directory. I've only had one person, apart from Sarah.
So the thing is are people hearing that?
Yeah, well, they're probably not seeing it.
No.
Because Twitter's being a pain again.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Here, cool. Tracy's listening. Tracy Ferguson, nice to have you. She said, hi all, a bit late to the party, but I'm listening now. Looking forward to a great show. Pleased to say that the leaflets have arrived today for the next Medway Careers Fair, sponsored by jobsinkent.com, in association with JPC, JCP.
Job Centre Plus.
Of course it is. Job Centre Plus in Kent. And that's on March the 26th at the Pentagon Centre in Chatham, 10 till 2. Nice to see you, Tracy. How are you, my darling?
Okay. Sorry about that. Right, can you read something else?
Yes, Diamond Circles have said to me, Business Bunker, can we please explain this to DC Squirrel, as he now thinks that the coronavirus is available in bottles. And they've put a GIF with Corona Extra. No, love, it's not in a bottle. So that's all there is to say. That is a nice lager.
Right, okay.
I'm going to carry on, shall I?
Yeah, well, it's just people are sending me messages saying that they couldn't hear the track properly that I played. I don't know why.
After all that.
Yeah. Maybe they were too busy laughing.
Yep.
What you got?
I have got a couple of I've got loads of emails, actually, over here. So we have a variety of offices available for rent within our Green Acres building. If you are looking for affordable workspace, why not consider having a viewing with us? Our office space is located within 15 minutes of Maidstone and Kings Hill, with easy access to the M20. We are also just over a mile away from Wateringbury Station, which routes to London. We have a function room, a cafe bistro on site, perfect for conferences. Its discounted prices are also available for those who rent our office space. You can find out more at www.kenwoodtrust.org.uk/... And it goes on, but put in Green Acres office space and you will find it there.
It's fantastic. It's part of Kenwood Trust, which is a residential home for people with drink and drug addictions. I'm a trustee of that august institution, and we need the money. So it's a modern office block that's available. There's lots of office suites there. There's an on-site cafe and bistro. There's conference rooms and seminar rooms. There's a squash court as well, but it's got a bit of damage in the storm, so we're refurbishing that. But check it out. Go and have a look. It's lovely. I tell you what, it's one of the most peaceful, gorgeous places to work there. And there's alpacas and all kinds running around.
I'll tell you what, I'm doing a lot of trail running at the minute. And the amount of people that have got alpacas in their back garden or in fields is, I've never known so many. It's like, it's just a normal horse now.
Yeah.
I know an alpaca isn't a horse.
I don't know what they taste like.
I'm so sorry. That's all I can say. I think that's going to be the word of the show. Sorry.
Yeah.
You not got plant-based yet then?
Have I not got what?
Have you not gone plant-based?
Plant-based? Are you accusing me of being a vegan? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not accusing, I'm just asking you.
I eat quite a lot of vegetables, but
don't
no.
Don't get me started.
No, I'm not. No, okay. I'm not going that way. Do you know what, though? I am going to talk to our first guest.
Who is it?
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome, for the first time onto the Bunker Show, although she has been in the studio before, the lovely Anita Brightley Hodges. Hello, Anita.
Hey, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us. Anita runs Family Business Place.
That's a do.
And we're going to have a lovely conversation talking to Anita about the kind of things she does, because it's unique, I think, is
Thank you, Paul.
Way of expressing that. So why don't you kick off by telling us a bit about you, Anita, and then a bit about your business and, you know, What inspired you to start it and what it's all about?
Okay, well, first of all, I want to say I love yoga.
Right.
All right? I mean, I'm rubbish at it, but I do it every week.
Have you had yoga injuries?
Sometimes, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And then the other is my daughter's just tweeted and said to me, great choice of record, Sister Sledge. We are family. I think she was singing along in the studio. So, hey, Lolly, that's fantastic. OK, well, I'm really thrilled to be here. Paul and Bird on the Bike. Such an interesting name, Bird. Your name is Bird, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Okay. And, yes, my name is Anita Brightley Hodges, and I live in Kent, and we run a... well, the best and leading membership organisation for family businesses all around the UK, Ireland and Wales and Scotland. So, but because I live in Kent, you know, we've discovered an abundance of these amazing businesses that are here in Kent. And in fact, I think you mentioned Athelbray earlier on.
Yeah, they're on next week.
Kate and Keith Merton are members of Family Business Place. So are McNaid's and Star Brands, Coolings, Biddenden, Bridget Toys, Gallagher's, Children's Salon. I could go on and on. They are fantastic.
It's odd, isn't it? Because we don't always realise how many family the businesses there are. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I was having an argument, as I do quite often, on some political forum the other day, and it was somebody saying, you know, there should be no such thing as inheritance. It should all go to the government and da-da-da. And I went, if you did that, there wouldn't be a single family business left. And they went, so? And I went, have you any idea how many businesses are family businesses? Even huge organisations like Cadbury's and people like that and Lloyds Bank were all family businesses for centuries.
Completely. Yeah. Well, if, you know, our listeners might need to know this. There are 4.8 million of us in this country, 4.8 million family businesses.
Wow.
And it's the oldest business model in the world forever, you know. And now I think there's a renaissance because just because of the way the market is at the moment and business is at the moment, with all the things that have been happening in the economy, you know, I don't know. I go into my studio every day and I think, what could be nicer than seeing my daughters every day, my son-in-law, having a laugh, doing what we love doing. I worked for 25 years just going up and down to the city.
Yep.
I saw my kids at the weekends, you know, and now I see them every day. And my grandson, I have a day off a week because... you know, when you're women in family business, childcare is not a problem. You just weave it into your work.
Sure.
Everyone that works with us works flexible hours. It's amazing. I love it. And I just think that longer in family business, and I think a lot of people don't really know that a lot of them are household names.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they don't realise that they are family businesses.
I just want to talk about that because you're absolutely right, and you know there's hundreds of well-known huge PLCs that were family-run businesses, and to some extent still are, even things like Disney and stuff like that. But what inspired you to start your business?
Oh, Family Business Place.
Yeah.
I worked with a very, very large German family business, but I only knew them as a huge corporate until they sold their business to a pharmaceutical business in Europe. And then all of a sudden, they had all this money and they had to set up a treasury and family office. And I was very fortunate. They asked me if I would set them up because I used to run a branding agency. And on the opening night, I met mother, father, aunt, uncle, brothers, sisters. One was two were art collectors. One was a brain surgeon. The other was a film director. And they were just like me and you, you know, because in corporate life, you don't really see the face of the business.
Sure.
But it was such a privilege. And also when you think businesses like that, and there are many in this country, in a single lifetime had nothing. Many were immigrants, so lots of Canadians, Indian, Chinese, had nothing, and they came here, and they just put food on the table for their families. That's how they all started. But generations down the line, you know, they've become successful, prosperous, employ everyone in the local community.
Yep.
If they go into and they want to, I think they want to make some adjustment in social sort of balance, and so they'll join the government or the council to make life better for everybody. So at the heart of all of them is make the world a better place. But they have had a very they haven't really been considered as a gem. So when I thought about the audience, and I just thought, well, who's telling their stories? Because they are amazing. Every single family business has a story that's unique to
them.
And I thought, who's looking after them? Where do they go to when they have problems? Because they have unique peccadilloes, really.
Yep.
You know, it's not easy working with your parents, your cousins, your wife, you know. And
we're going to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah. and we live it and breathe it in our family business anyway. So I just thought, well, here's a niche that no one really understands. The government lumps them in with SMEs, and they are so different to non-family businesses. And so we just thought we'll make it our mission to bang that drum, bring family business to the fore, make it cool, sexy, fantastic, exciting, be part of a family business, because you don't all have to traipse up to the the big metropolis, say here it's London or Manchester or Leeds, to be successful. And I think family businesses really shake up the notion of what does success mean. And of course, in this day and age, success doesn't necessarily mean the dollar. It could be that I spend time with my children. I can be at home at 6 o'clock. I can ride my bike. I can walk there. I can travel the world. You know, there are all those wonderful things.
It's interesting you say that, Anita, because that is absolutely true. And this is just funnily enough. A few years ago on this show, we did a big series in conjunction with some guys at the University of Kent. It was a thing called BIG, Business Innovation and Growth. And funnily enough, Simon Raby, who is the academic that was in it, he's now in Canada. And funnily enough, I was chatting to him yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, online. I hadn't spoken to him for a long time. And then he popped up in my timeline yesterday and I was just chatting to him about this. He's now in Calgary.
Yes, I understand he is.
And still doing interesting stuff in that field. But one of the findings from the BIG project, where they interviewed 17,000 small businesses, is it was a phenomenally small amount of people that actually launched a business to make money. Yeah, most of them did it for lifestyle reasons, for passion reasons,
or
for
that
enthusiasm.
They were just good at it. I love Steve Harvey. I don't know if you know him, the comedian. And he sort of says, you know, to be successful, just do what you are good at. Don't try and be something else. You know, and he says his thing is comedy. I made people laugh. And it was a hard road, but, you know, look at him now. And I think most family businesses just decided, I can do this. I can make this with my hands. I'm good at making people laugh. I inspire people. I'm great at networking. Whatever it is, I'm good on the theatre, on stage. And so that's usually the basis. Or they could be baking bread, you know, making wine, making cider.
But you hit the nail on the head with this earlier when you said as well that it's a business model that has been around for centuries. And when you think about it, if you go right back to before common stock companies, where the concept of a company didn't exist, trades, be it a blacksmith or a barrel maker, a cooper, you know, anything that you learn, Your kids automatically learnt it as well, because from probably about age six, you were teaching them how to do it because you wanted them to work in that business.
But what's quite different is that we've just taken part in a survey recently and we found out that still 60% of all next generation leadership goes through the male bloodline.
Really?
So we've got quite a lot to catch up with. Right. But there is a movement of women and different cultures, for example, Asian families. Businesses are doing so well. I can remember I was working with a lovely gentleman who came to this country in the 70s with 20 quid and a typewriter.
Right.
At a time when having a brown skin was the butt of ridicule. You remember those shows
on TV?
Yeah, I do. And now, you know, he's a lord in the House of Lords. He turns over a £400 million distribution company and he just worked his socks off.
Absolutely. I want to come back to the point you made, and I don't dispute it for one moment. I'm just trying to kind of uncover some of those things, because I've looked at some of these things as well in different contexts. When you say that a lot of businesses don't pass down through the female line, to what extent is some of that because females don't want it to, or is it because they have family constraints that stop it, or is it just because it wasn't done?
I think in the beginning it probably was because it wasn't done. He went out and earned a living, and she, her job was to bring up the family, don't forget. But times, they are a changing.
Absolutely.
And now girls, women, they go to university, they start at their own businesses. Because of the internet, you can do something from home, and it fits in with all. I mean, at the heart of it is child rearing, really.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
of course
at the heart of it. If you're going to have kids, then you've got to have an opportunity where you can work around their needs without losing your status or without, you know, belittling what you do.
Well, this is why I ask, because You worked in the city, as did I, and I did a survey a few years ago on this about why high-performing women weren't reaching the top levels in the city, and the data was pretty unequivocally clear that once they got to a certain age, they said, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore because I want to raise a family.
Yeah.
And, of course, that career interruption to raise a family was at the point where they were about to take off and become really big in their own career.
Yes.
And therefore you've got this hiatus for a couple of years when they almost had to then start again to build their career back up after rearing children. Yeah.
Well, and you know, there's that wonderful recruitment agency, 10 till 2.
Yeah, absolutely,
know,
yeah.
And Andrea, I know very well.
Andrea and Kirstine.
Yeah. Absolutely, and the idea that you've got really expert, wonderful, engaging, bright women that can still add value to a business in between child school time is amazing. So it gave birth to that type of recruitment that never existed before. And I think lots of men are thinking about it too. So, you know, the whole concept of work and life integration has really changed. And in fact, I heard, I think, or read something in the paper about banks saying, we're going to take a few lessons out of family business. We want to be more like a family business. Well, you know what? You can't. You know, you've got to have it. It's in your DNA. You do it because you have a passion and you love it. But it has its own, it creates its own problems as well.
Well, I mean, my daughter works in my company with me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then she's got a contract and she's employed as an employee of the company. Yeah. Now, I had a lot of people say to me, oh, no, you don't want her working in the company. And yet, I totally disagree. We have absolute trust. We have an open and honest conversation. And we both want what's best for the company. And the company is its own entity. It is not my baby. It is not something that I've... It is its own product, which it should be. And we both work for the best of the company. And we both have different ideas about women's empowerment and women's rights and women's well-being. So that's great, because then we've got this bigger conversation to be had.
Totally. Mm. And I think the success, and I'm assuming, but your success is probably because you also understand barriers, also understand what you each individually bring to the business. So in our family business, as soon as our studio door is closed, I'm mum. Mm. And at the weekends, we don't talk about the business. And that's the biggest issue facing family businesses, and also that affects whether the next generation want to come into it. If all they ever hear at the dinner table is the family business, what's going on, what's going right, what's going wrong, and particularly when it's downsized, and you're, you know, because you love it, so every hour of the day you're thinking about it, your kids are going to be thinking, you must be joking, I'm not going to come into the family business, because all they ever talk about is family.
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting you say that. I want to talk about, because we've talked about the power and the benefit of family business, but there are some challenges as well. So let's just focus for a little moment on what the challenges are in a family business. Because I think they are the things that can upset the equilibrium if you're not careful.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, it's quite simple, really. There are just two main things that family businesses need to be thinking about if they're going to continue to be successful. The first, which is the hardest, it's hard anyway, is communication.
Yeah.
To be able to talk frankly and openly, even though you trust each other, you know, without upsetting each other's feelings, because you can't close the door. At the end of the day, you're going to carry that grudge home. You know what it's like if you have an argument with your wife or someone close to you. It's one of those things that sits and stews. When you're at work, you have an argument with a colleague and you go away and you come back and it's all sorted.
Yeah, yeah.
But we seem to harbour those. So communication, for sure, is the hardest thing. And so perhaps put in place some opportunities where you know you can talk about family and business at the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
The second is planning and governance, thinking about succession, thinking about exit, thinking about the hopes and dreams of the next generation, thinking about the hopes and dreams of the senior generation, because we, particularly men, tend to look at the business as their shed.
Absolutely.
So it's hard for them to let go.
And for me, one of the things I've seen, and I'm interested in your view on this, is that transition from one generation to another tends to, in some instances, be a catalyst for everything going wrong, because one generation find it hard to let go.
Yes.
And the next generation find it hard to impose what they want.
Yes.
And you get this And I see it especially around technology issues, yes, where a younger generation coming into the business go, we don't want to do it like that anymore, we want to do it like this. And the older generation go, we've been doing it like this for 100 years, we don't need to change.
Absolutely.
And all of a sudden, it all falls apart in an acrimonious fight.
Well, we found that, well, of course, we find that happens all the time. So we developed a fantastic one-day family business discovery workshop.
Right, okay.
And that is for shareholders and family members and their other halves to join in the day. And it's amazing because in the morning we just talk about the business. You'd be surprised how many members in the family have little understanding of what the business actually does, yet it could provide for their wealth. They don't really understand, you know. And so it's about having an appreciation, understanding the difficulties and challenges of making, you know, making the wages every month, making the mortgages every month.
Yep.
And then in the afternoon, we do exactly the same, but talk about the family.
Hmm.
Because if you did a SWOT analysis of the family and you included everyone, then you understand where you fit and what your role is. And you may be working and not working in the business, but you can still add value. Or your relatives will still have pride in what you're doing. So if you think of something, if you think about Clark Shoes, for example, I think they have over 100 shareholders. 100 shareholders. And those people, the shares will be valueless unless that business is sold, and it probably will never be. Mm. But what they all love about it is they are part of the Clark family. And that's been going for 200 years. Wow. That is amazing. And if you think about particularly, if you think about Lullingston Castle, I mean, they're a family business. So Tom Hartdyke, I think they're about 25th generation. That's amazing.
Yep.
And their entire staff are volunteers. Now there must be something about that business that people love. They get a fulfillment out of doing it. And so I think in answer to your question, Paul, I think what we've tried to do is help them understand that through the workshop, but to also appreciate everything and be grateful for. So I know my daughters really show that. I think they're thankful that I started a business that they could then come into. But I so appreciate them, and I really sort of admire them, and I admire. And there's a lot of reverse mentoring going on. So if anything goes wrong with the computer, I put my hands up, and then, you know, Olympia, help me, or my son. But I think that a word to the wise: the next generation are going to catapult your business into the future like you would never imagine. But next generation still needs to think about, so how can I show my appreciation to my father, my mother? How can I help them into the next phase of their life? What do they want their legacy to be? How can I help that happen for all their hard work? So there's a lot of that to be spoken about: legacy, why you're here in the first place, why you're in business in the first place. Who else do I know that have been going through problems just as I have? And so the membership allows family businesses to be able to just share that, which is quite private. You can't really air your dirty linen in front of everybody else, but another family business will get it. You don't need to say anything.
Absolutely, yeah. It's funny, while you were talking there, I actually I know Clark's in Somerset.
Yeah.
And a few years ago, I did a consult. I used to work as an independent management consultant, and I did some consultancy with the firm. What a lovely, lovely business. And they had blended so well the history of their company with the future, because it had changed radically. And their head office in Street had become more of a museum than a factory. They used to make shoes there, which they no longer do. And it had become a museum. But the transition that they'd had to go through, but had achieved very successfully, to move from an old style cobbler to a new style multinational shoe business had been achieved quite well. And I loved working there. Yeah.
And talking about cobblers,
yeah,
we all know John Simpson, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, well, what an amazing family business that is.
Yeah.
And I think that is a really fantastic role model for what you can achieve if you've got a successful business, how you can then build a legacy that you've really contributed to the well-being of the whole nation. So we know that John and James, they look out for people that have been in prison, you know, because we all deserve a second chance.
Yep.
Train them up.
Yep.
They work in their shops. John travels around the country and meets everybody at least once. And I think you can do that. Most family businesses are aligned with their own charity, their own foundation. It's something outside of the business. It's something that is more than the business, because at the end of the day, most family businesses will employ people in the local community. They want to help those in their own community. So we give more money between us all to charity and worthy causes than anything else. Yep. And it's because we want to, because we feel an obligation to that place.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And it's staggering that there's kind of not much attention paid to this by anyone, apart from you guys.
Absolutely. We are on it, mate.
Yeah, but when you start to think about it and the amount of family businesses that there are and how, in fact, really, the vast majority of businesses are family businesses.
Absolutely.
is the deal. Now, you've got an event coming up. Yes. And I was looking at it, and this made me laugh as well, because I saw one of the speakers, Ben Barsley.
Yeah.
And I know Ben really well, although I haven't seen him for years. I used to take him to school when he
Did
was little.
You?
So when you see him, you can remind him
I
of
will.
That. Yeah.
He was a wonderful speaker at our conference in November.
Yeah.
And, wow, you know, he's the next generation. He wants, again, to take what his parents have achieved and take that to a new dimension.
Yeah.
You know, we have got our National Family Business Awards, which are at Wembley, and the... I hope you don't mind me saying, but the entries are open now.
Yeah, no, you go
I'll
for
tell
it.
You, 500.
I'm doing it.
Definitely. Last
I'm
year,
I'm doing it. I can never get an award.
It's a national award.
Totally. Yeah. It's the only national awards, and we hold it at Wembley because it's the place of champions. Because I love it. We want family business to feel like they are champions.
Yeah.
And last year we had 500. They came with their children. They came with their grandmas. They came with just the family, and we raised a hell of a lot of money for a charity. Because the other thing about it is, because it's family business, my mother passed away 18 months ago from dementia.
Right.
So our fundraising, we decided to be, for 2 years, to be Alzheimer's research. By the way, if anyone wants to sponsor me, I'm running 52 park runs. I'm on my 44th this Saturday.
Well,
funnily enough, you're competing with me, because my son Stuart is raising money for Alzheimer's by running the London Marathon.
But one of the interesting things is there are a lot of family businesses, because their family, their parents, will get dementia.
Yeah.
So it's not as if it's something that happens over there. Their parents, who were the bookkeeper, the company secretary, the chairman, have fallen foul to this terrible disease. So you can imagine how it resonated with family businesses. So they bring their relatives with them. They cherish them. And we've raised about 20 grand, I think, over the last 2 years just really by doing different things for fundraising. But things that happen in life in a family business happen in life. They happen in your business. You can't leave your family issues at the door. If you worked in a large corporate, they say leave your family behind. When you get to work, you're at work. But you can't rock up in the morning when you know that somebody is ill or your child's in hospital. You can't.
Yeah.
And the wonderful thing about being in a family business is you can be flexible. You can care for each other. You can be kind to each other.
Mm.
We use words like love. You don't hear love in a business, but in a family business, you hear those words, love, kindness, vulnerability,
absolutely,
all those things that matter.
Well, we'd love hearing from you about this. We're going to have to join the newsroom shortly. So for the moment,
thank you so much,
Anita, do stay with us for the rest of the show. Our other guests have arrived and are downstairs, which is great. But if people want to find out more about Family Business Place, what's your website? How can they get in contact with you? What do they need to do?
Right, they need to contact familybusinessplace.com.
Right.
And I'm on the website there. You can become a member there. All the details of the awards this year are on the website as well. So please, because, we want to shout for the Mars how wonderful they all are.
Fantastic. So do check that out, Family Business Place. There is a link to the website on the Kent Business Radio website,
so
that will be there forever. So do check it out. Do have a look. It's an astounding statistic that 4.8 million of our businesses are family businesses. It doesn't surprise me in the least, and it's something that needs a lot more recognition as far as I'm concerned, because I think it gives people a completely different perspective on the world of business, because business gets a bad name from far too many people who think it's all just about money-grabbing corporates. And, of course, money-grabbing corporates are the smallest part of the business community by miles, mm. yeah, by miles and miles and miles. They're less than 0.3% of all businesses. And when you say that 4.8 million are family businesses, it makes a big difference. Love what you're doing.
Thank you.
It's an pleasure. Absolute pleasure to hear from you and to hear about the work that you're doing. Keep on keeping on.
Thank you.
Do stay with us for the rest of the show. We're going to join the newsroom in a moment, and then we're going to go and rescue our other two guests from their deprivations on the motorway.
I love radio for this. It's just brilliant. I love it. People have got no idea of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. So let's join the newsroom, and then we'll be back to talk to some more people later.
On the Hour, Channel Radio News Update.